We will call this meeting to order at 2 p.m. on November 13th, 2025. Good afternoon and welcome to the City of Edgewater Code Enforcement Hearing. My name is Ryan Knight and I am the Special Magistrate for the City of Edgewater. These hearings are open to the public under Florida's Government and the Sunshine Law. The procedures of this hearing are that due process is emphasized to each respondent and to the city in accordance with Florida Statute 162.07, subsection 3, which states formal rules of evidence shall not apply, but fundamental due process shall be observed and shall govern the proceedings. Hearsay is admissible, but only to support other competent substantial evidence. Any decision made today may be appealed by sending notice of appeal to the circuit court within 30 days of the execution of any order. The City of Edgewater will present its case first, as it has a burden of proof. Afterwards, the respondents will have an opportunity to respond. At this time, please silence all cell phones. I will now swear in any witnesses. If you will be providing testimony, please stand up and raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? First order, we'll do the approval of minutes, the October 9th, 2025. Minutes are approved. The first case that we'll do is 6A, case number 25-122930.
This is in relation to citation number 833. I am Officer Jacob McLaughlin with Code Enforcement. The address is 618 North Ridgewood Avenue, which is owned by 618 North Ridgewood Avenue, LLC. On October 7th, I received a complaint regarding construction starting around 5:30 in the morning at 618 North Ridgewood Avenue, where the new Hang Ten car wash was being built. I contacted Jason Rice, who is a representative for the owner of the property. I informed him that he needed to ensure they did not begin construction until 7 a.m. on weekdays. He told me he would get with his construction team and to stop working so early. The next day, on October 8th, I received another complaint regarding construction starting at 5 in the morning. I contacted Jason Rice, who checked the cameras at the property and confirmed that work was beginning prior to 7 in the morning again. A citation for Chapter 10, Section 23, Subsection 6, Specific Noises Prohibited, was posted and mailed. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with, and the citation for $75 was paid on October 22nd.
Is there anybody here for the respondent? Seeing nobody here. Based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122930, find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the notice of violation and or citation filed in this matter. I order no daily fines or liens to be assessed as the property is now in compliance and uphold the citation since it was paid. All right, next case will be new business, case 7A, case 25-122486.
Good afternoon. SafeLock Storage Holdings, LLC is the owner of the property located at 333 West Marion Avenue in Edgewater, Florida. It has been found in violation of Section 10500 minimum standards of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances. On July 9th, 2025, I was instructed to respond to the listed location reference to sinking pavement around the sewer grates, which could pose an issue for emergency vehicles and other traffic that travel through there. I arrived on scene, observed areas of cement sinking around metal sewer grates. Spoke with the facility manager, Heather Luce, who also advised her of the violations on the property. Heather informed me she was aware of the issues and has been attempting to find a contractor to repair this for over 6 months. I advised Heather a case would be open and requested to keep code enforcement updated on the progress. On August 12, 2025, a notice of violation was prepared and issued to the property owner with a correction date of September 9, 2025 due to no updates or progress to repair the sinking pavement and grates. On August 19, 2025, I spoke with Caleb Levitt, another representative of the property. He advised they were going forward with the repairs. He was instructed the repairs would need permits for the work. On October 28, 2025, I was instructed to move forward with the citation notice of hearing for this case. Citation 0550, notice of hearing was subsequently issued. It was posted to the property, sent certified mail to the owner, and posted to City Hall. Myron San Miguel and myself have had conversations with the property owner regarding this violation. A permit was applied for some time after. However, emails went back and forth regarding corrections that still need to be corrected, which has not been accomplished. All notice and provisions, Chapter 10, Article 27, have been complied with. Staff recommends the special magistrate find Safelock Storage Holdings LLC in violation of Section 10500 minimum standards of the code and ordinances and assess the citation fine of $75 and additional daily fines of $100 if not corrected by December 13th, 2025.
Thank you. Is there anybody here for the respondent? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Can you please state your name?
My name is Matthew Smoot. I'm the owner.
Okay, thank you.
We applied for a permit on our contractor did, Coomber Construction, also known as Precision Excavation and Concrete. They applied for a permit on August 28th, and here's our proof right here. We just got the permit. We just got informed this morning that the permit was approved. And so we waited all this time to be approved for this permit that we applied for, and that's why it's taken this long.
Okay, were there corrections that were needed for the permit application or anything?
We did not do anything to the permit application. It was approved as is.
Do you have any expectation of when the work will be complete?
We will have it done within 60 days.
Okay, the city's requesting daily fines if not corrected by December 13th. And now that you do have a permit, would you want 60 days from today before those fines would kick in? In other words, if the work's completed mm-hmm. within 60 days, then there would be no daily fines assessed.
Okay, that's fine.
Be fine. Okay, there is a citation for $75, which is still in here. Do you have it? You want to present any evidence on that or anything?
Well, only that we applied for a permit, and I don't think a permit should take this long to receive. So we think that should be waived, given the length of time that we've waited to receive the permit.
But this has been going on since August.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
That's everything.
Based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122486, I find the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the Notice of Violation and or citation filed in this matter. I have considered the gravity of the situation or the gravity of the violation. The actions taken by the respondent to correct the violation, which is obtaining a permit and any previous violations. I order that respondent correct the violation on or before January 13th, 2026. In order to correct the violation, the respondent shall take the action as set forth in the notice of violation or the notice of citation. If the respondent does not comply with this order, a fine in the amount of $100 will be imposed for each day the violation continues past January 13th, 2026. The respondent is further ordered to contact code enforcement and to arrange for inspection of the property to verify compliance with this order. In addition, there is a $75 citation that was issued in this matter that will be upheld. Uh, Next matter will be new business 7C, case 25-122734. Sure, is that 7I? The teams, okay. Yes, you can hear that. It'll be new business 7I, case number 25-122911.
Should have volume now.
Okay. All right. Hi, good afternoon. Can you please state your name and show me your ID, please?
Sure. Cheryl Morris. Okay.
Can you bring it a
little? Can you see it?
Yeah, can you put it a little bit closer?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm looking through the whole picture of your train.
Okay, nope, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
Is that good?
Yes, that is fine. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. City, you may proceed.
So these are citations that were written through Section 2 of what Chapter 162 of Florida State Statute, doing direct citations to the individual rather than through the property and daily fine amount. These citations are being challenged by that individual, and she's here. I'll have her come up and challenge the citations. They're going to be for noise. The neighbors had brought to code enforcement's attention a car alarm that was being set off continuously throughout the night and during random times for unspecified lengths of time. However, it would fall under our noise ordinance for prohibited noises and nuisances, and that was what it was written for. Unfortunately, the first citation did not bring about compliance, so I had to write a second one. Everything had followed state statute for due process and it being sent certified and being delivered to the property. And she is here today to challenge them.
Okay. And who is here for the respondent? All right, ma'am, please come up.
Just come up to the podium so it's on record for everything.
All right, can you please state your name for the record?
Betty Mae Walls.
Okay. You may go ahead.
I would like to say that I think this is ridiculous. My first, let me start with I was a victim of a break-in and an assault when I was younger, and so I get nervous when I'm home and I don't have like my dog. I no longer have my guard dog, who was my emotional support animal. I don't have anybody there to protect me. I had to get a restraining order on my ex-husband, and I've had multiple things taken from my property. I also, within the last 6 months, have had my car vandalized twice. I have, so like, I you know, I get, I'm not comfortable. I don't feel safe in my home. And where if I feel like, you know, like, and then when I go to hit the alarm and it beeps twice to show that it's engaged, she's like called and complained about that. And then another thing I saw is when I was reading about these ordinances, like what's protocol? How do you go about, like, you know, all of a sudden I have this citation. Well, he came the code guy came to my house and he said that we had a complaint with your car alarm. And I said, well, I had just got a key made because my key was like, it was very sensitive. Anytime it was in my purse, it would hit something, my car alarm would go off. And so I had just paid $300, had a key made like the day before that or 2 days before that. And I told him, you know, I'm sorry that that's going on. You know, that shouldn't happen. And then he said that there was also from the same lady probably a complaint with like trash in my backyard. And that wasn't the case. And my neighbor, I think it's more than just this. I think it's a, like, she had an issue with my ex-husband, and she had, like, you know, she was upset with him because I guess he didn't follow through with a deal they had made or something like that. And so it's like, I literally had to block this lady from my phone. And I even had the neighbor across the street, because she's like called my mortgage company. She's threatened to call the news, all kinds of stuff. She wants to think that she knows all about me because she researched me and is going to say, well, you know, I'm a criminal and this and that. Yeah, I've made mistakes in my life, but that doesn't define my, you know, character. That doesn't define who I am based on my past. And she was a property manager. She told me that she was going to give everybody on the street my mortgage company's email and their phone number and have everybody complain on me. My mortgage company told her, I'm not in violation of nothing that's with my contract because it's a Habitat for Humanity home. And she said, the Habitat people, because I had a conference with them, told me that they told her, well, just go to the police if you have a problem, because she's not doing anything wrong. Because she threatened to go to the news on Habitat, how they, you know, like just all kinds of stuff. I have tried nothing but to really be nice to this lady. Originally, she claimed, I know this, I don't know how much time we get to talk, but she was upset about the canal. My ex-husband, I guess, had threw some cans in the canal or something behind our houses. So he was going to pick up the trash around her canal, and he ended up taking off and not doing that. So me and my children, we spent 2 days, like probably 3 hours a day, cleaning up her backyard with the lily pads, and we all got poison ivy. And I told her we had to go to the doctor, and I said, you know, I think we did our fair share of his responsibility of what you guys, you know, the deal you guys made. And ever since then, she's been like nothing but attack towards me. And I don't know, with the car alarm, I don't sit there and press my button and just let it go off. And when it does go off, it may go off like 1 minute. They came to my house with the citation, but they just told me about a warning. I didn't find out to the second citation that they had the citation. Then that's when I asked what the protocol was. And I was told that, first, usually you get a warning. Well, my warning and my citation came the same day. I think that's really ridiculous.
Objection. That's not true. I actually went there first, gave her a warning, spoke to her, opened up a code case, and then closed it, and then continued to receive complaints from the neighbors. It should be noted that code enforcement has not heard or witnessed this firsthand. We have multiple neighbors with sworn testimonies. Both of them are here to testify today, Ms. Carrie and Ms. Cheryl. And we are basically allowing them to have their day in court to iron this out, because we have record from police calls and things like that. However, unfortunately, code enforcement hasn't been able to verify. But when I did speak to Ms. Betty Ann, she did admit to me that the alarm was going off, that she was having a problem with the car, but that she had since gotten it fixed. She verified and did explain that there are history and challenges with things and her unfortunate circumstances of people coming in and something, you know, some personal things there. But so I understand and the justification of being a little nervous about different stuff of going on. However, it's come to a point where it's becoming a public nuisance at this point. It should also be noted for the record that we had to move forward with Section A of 162, and we wrote a ticket and citation to the property. With the intent of putting daily fines on the property if it continues, and that's scheduled for December. So even with these citations that she's choosing to challenge today, she's continuing to set her alarm off, and I think the witnesses for the city can speak more to that. If you'd be okay for me to call them forward at this time to talk about it, and we can start with Miss Cheryl, if that's okay.
Yeah, let her finish first, and then I'll let the city call.
Okay, and the thing with the car alarm, my car alarm has never went off more than, like, I mean, I would like them to show proof of the car alarm going off, because the third citation they just talked about that I have to go face in December, my kitchen caught on fire. My house caught on fire. I'm in my driveway now. This is the next day, crying my eyes out, and just like, you know, my family's all split up, and like, I went to go open my car door and the alarm went off because the car was set and I didn't have the key to get into the ignition right away to turn it off. I'm digging through my purse, finding the key. No joke. It may have beeped two times, the honk, two times. I start the key up, and within hours, code enforcement is at my house, within hours of issuing me a citation, hours after I just had a house fire. And then it's like, I go, how long does the alarm have to go off for before it becomes a nuisance where I get this citation? Because I hear people honk their horns all the time. I hear car alarms here and there. Mine's not going off forever and ever and ever. This is like, I'm telling you, no more than a minute this has gone off. And the lady, my neighbor, that other lady is her friend that lives across the street from her. They both, whatever, they tag up against me. And she even came to me and told me, and I like her to go on stage, whatever, on oath and say, like, she came to my house and told me, I'm not going to court. I'm not going to deal with that lady. She's, you know, I've had enough of her. I've had enough of her. I'm not getting involved. I'm not going to do this. And look, long and behold, here she is. You know, this is just like, it's this lady, like, goes, like, the guy across the street used to cut her grass, and he fired her. And I had a note that I got from him, a text message about how she comes into the neighborhood because she goes out of town for a while and she comes back. And she likes to gossip and she likes to start stuff. And that's what she does. And he's even gotten in an argument with her. And she's going to bring up his criminal record because she has nothing else better to do but to research people all day long and cast judgment without reading the entire document, like saying I'm a convicted felon when I'm not and stuff like that. Like, I try to be peaceful. I do try to be peaceful. My alarm never went off to the point where I should be cited. And when were the two dates in question to the warning and the citation? Was it the same day, hours later? Because I don't remember that happening at all like that. And the lady in the office told me that it was the same day I got the citation. I said, well, don't usually you get a warning first? She said, well, yours was issued both the same day. This first time I'm hearing it's issued on different days. And even, another thing is, the very first day the codes came to my house, I had that meeting with my mortgage company because she first started that route, going to my mortgage company complaining. And I had a meeting with them. I made sure 100% that alarm did not go off once at all. Because my daughter even said, my daughter, she's a very real soft sleeper. The next morning, codes is at our house. Maggie's like, Mom, the alarm didn't go off. I said, I know. And she goes, the lady, I found out through codes, there was a police call put in about your car alarm. Well, obviously, the police never knocked on my door because my alarm never went off. And that night, I'd like somebody to pull up surveillance on that because not once did it go off. She made a false police call. It went off the night before that, but not the night she made the police call where the codes came to my house. So I would like to see this evidence besides their little party buddy across the street that wants to sit here and slander me because that's what she does.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say at this time?
I'll give you
a chance after the city presents their witnesses,
yeah,
if you would like to.
Yes, thank you. Anything. Yes, thank you.
Okay. City, go ahead.
So I'd like to have Ms. Cheryl speak in relation to her testimony and statement as to what has been going on, and then I'll have Ms. Carey come up.
Okay. You can go ahead, Ms. Morris.
Multiple times in a row, that's what her alarm is. So it's honk, 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 as loud as you can imagine, in the middle of the night especially. For a while, it was averaging 5 to 6 times where I would just get back to sleep and boom, get woke up again and again, where I couldn't even sleep. This has been going on for about 3 years total, but it got really bad with the car that she has now that she got, I'm just guessing because I don't know the time frame, about 9 months ago, I'm going to say. I also recorded it, so we definitely have video, of me recording the horn honks. So it is very loud, and all of my bedrooms, I do not get peace in my home. All of my bedrooms are right by her driveway. So when this goes off, I'm losing sleep day after day, night after night. She did start getting a tiny bit better with each time I called code enforcement, but then it always starts right back in. And I did play the recordings for the police when they came out. I think that time I had two recordings at least I'm almost positive it was at least a week before I did another report on her car alarm, because she wasn't really there, I guess, because of the fire. At least I didn't see her there. But once her car was back, boom, it just started over again. And like I said, I've been dealing with it for 3 years, right? Talking with her. We've actually been on good terms multiple different times, but because of this, it has caused issues. But I don't know if you want me to answer on the other stuff that I think is irrelevant, but a lot of it is incorrect.
Yeah, I'd like you to stick to what we're here for right now. You said you had video.
We have some of those that we can play, yes. Would you like to see those videos now, or would you like Ms. Carey to testify first?
Let's go ahead and look at the videos now.
Okay. Is it not giving audio? Try the other video.
Okay. Let's go ahead and you can call the other witness then.
Ms. Carey, can you please come to the stand?
Ma'am, can you please state your name?
My name is Carey Richardson.
Okay. And what is your relationship to the property here? Are you a neighbor? Are you?
I'm a neighbor, 3109 Silver Palm.
Okay.
So considering the horn honking, it has been a problem for a long time. She's just talking about this new car of hers, but she did have a black car prior to this. And you would hear the horn honking from that car also. So it's just not this vehicle that we're talking about. So it's been going on for a long time. But here lately, it's been more numerous. And I also tried to talk to Betty May and ask her if she'd just stop the horn honking. You know, the situation would dissolve itself and there wouldn't be an issue. And no, I wasn't going to show up today because she told me it would stop, but it did not. It has continued. We have a neighborhood of older people. My mother lives with me, and this disturbs her. I get up at 2 to work. So when she's honking the horn at midnight, 1, it disturbs my rest to get up for work. So it is an issue, and it just doesn't have to be friends with Cheryl, because I'll hear it and go out in the middle of the night, and her car will be out there honking, not just for a minute, just a honk or two. You know, like Cheryl said, beep, 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 and I'm, let's see, across the street, probably 3 houses down or so. So it is loud. And if I can hear it in my house sleeping, it's loud, and it's disturbing. And it disturbs my mother, who's 78 years old. But like I said, there's a prior issue with her black car. So.
Is that when it seems to occur? Does it occur mostly at night?
It occurs during the day too, but like I said, it can occur anywhere between midnight to 3 to 4 to 5 in the morning. Now, you know, during the day, it might be a honk, but there may be the car going off too, but it's not so disturbing as at nighttime when people are trying to sleep.
And How long is it for if you had to give an estimate?
Say it one more time.
How long is it honking for? I'm assuming it just depends.
Right, it just depends. Sometimes it's a short honk, three, four, or sometimes it goes off longer. Other times, sometimes during the day, it'll go off for a little while. But at nighttime, it's a, you know, it depends.
Okay.
So.
Anything else from the city?
Just to mention, within the code, it specifically outlines that type of noise. It doesn't necessarily give a duration or how long, but given the frequency and at the discretion of the city, evaluating the situation and the testimonies given by multiple neighbors. This isn't a neighbor where one's pointing at the other like this. This is, I canvassed the neighborhood, spoke to the neighbors, multiple people confirmed the issues. Some of them did not wish to come in and testify or write sworn statements, which is their right. But no one was subpoenaed for this, and they are all here willingly. And it should still be noted that code enforcement has not witnessed this firsthand, that this is just from the police records coming in to us that we've researched and the statements given today. Okay.
Ma'am, you can come up.
Okay. That is not true. They're painting a picture like I sit and press my car alarm all day, that I'm back and forth, and throughout the whole night, my car alarm goes off. That is not the case. When I get out of my car and I hit the lock button on the key, the car goes beep, beep. That's what they're talking about. And that video that you just heard the sound for, is that the end of the video? Because I know my alarm does not sit there and go off for more than 1 minute. They're making it seem like a car alarm plays like songs. I want to hear a proof, because I'll take this all the way to whatever I got to do next, because this is foolish how these come in here and just say whatever they want with no evidence. Yeah, it does beep when I put it in gauge. Show me multiple times throughout the day where it does that, where I'm all, which make it seem like, oh, well, sometimes in the afternoon, this and that. Are you kidding me? This is crazy. So I would like to hear where my car alarm goes off more than two honks. She said three or four. Show me in one day, three or four in one day, besides the few incidences where I couldn't grab the key in time, and it was no longer than a minute.
Okay. Anything else?
And another thing is, this lady, she wants to talk about the noise that bothers her. She has this little thing, I don't know what it is, but it's by her house, towards my house. And every time I open my front door, she doesn't always have it on, but usually when she's away in another state or wherever she goes, she keeps it on. So every time I open my door, it goes beep, beep. It's like a motion detector that makes this like beep, beep noise. It sounds like an Apple alarm going off. So when I'm sitting out on my front porch and I'm trying to talk to people, they're like, what's that noise? It's her little motion detector, which is going to detect nothing, because where she has it between that house and my house is what, maybe 25 feet, if that. And she talks about, and her cameras, she, to me, I think it's a violation of codes, but I'm not too familiar with it. But the cameras she has, from my understanding in the state of Florida, that you could put it wherever they're not supposed to be privacy. And she has two, needless to say, in going from her side of her house, her window, to my living room window, not the driveway, not the side of the house. She could angle the side of the house, is my house, her house. If that's privacy in those windows on my house. She could have put it to the street or the driveway, but they said that wasn't in violation of codes. And the one code officer was at our house just the other day for like 2 hours during the middle of the day. I don't know what all was talked about then.
Objection,
but I think there's a lot more to this story, and I think I'm being discriminated against and tagged up against. And I think everything needs to be taken into consideration. The things that I'm going through, my situation, being a victim of a crime, my PTSD, I'm on disability for it. Having that happen to me affected my life severely, my anxiety is high at night when I'm home alone. And I had just lost my guard dog, because I had a guard dog. And, you know, I have a restraining order. I have somebody that has broke into my home and violated that restraining order already, where the police had to come. And, you know, so it's not like I'm just sitting back pressing an alarm and just being a nuisance. I'm not trying to do that.
So is the car alarm going off at night?
No. It has gone off. No, it has gone off a couple times. Not even like once every day. I engage it whenever I drive in. I go somewhere and I come back. I hit lock and it engages it. I mean, like, I can hit maybe lock one time, but I usually do it twice to make sure that it's set. So, and she talked about the car before this. I didn't have an alarm on a car before this. I don't sit around and honk my horn, like, just do that for fun. Like, I trust me, I got way better things to do than to honk my horn at her or even look her up or research her. I got way better things to do. I don't need to do that like she does to me.
Okay, anything else?
No.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I will issue an order in this within 5 days. City, I'd like to see those videos so I can hear them. I think there were 3 videos. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you could send those to me so I could just review those and listen to them, and I will issue an order on this within 5 days, and you'll receive a copy of it as well.
Thank you.
If you would like to review the videos, please get in contact with code enforcement.
I'll make sure she gets a copy.
So she can get a copy of that. Okay.
And one more thing I wanted to say, yes, quickly, ma'am, is when I was reading on the website about how the codes work, from my understanding, it states that you're supposed to go and they address, the complaint comes in, they address the person that owns the home, like, right away with the complaint, and they give them, like, a verbal. And then after that, they come and give them, I guess, a written notice. And it was, like, 3 things before they got the citation. I got a warning and a citation at the same time. Bam, they give me, I mean, they haven't even heard it. And they're issuing me a citation saying it violates the whatever or however loud it could be. They don't even, I mean, like, this is crazy. Like, really, like, I don't want to be a nuisance. I don't want to be, like, I'm not trying to cause problems. I have too much on my plate to be trying to sit there and cause problems. Like, I'm just trying to deal with my own stuff going on. And that's enough in itself, dealing with everything else. Like, I don't have time to sit there and honk my horn at somebody.
If I can just clarify, you're not wrong in the processes of how we handle things. There normally is a 3-step process. However, there is a provision under the code that if it's irreparable or irreversible, a noise violation would be considered that because it's a one-and-done thing and you can't take it back. You did get a warning when I came out the first day when you walked me into your backyard and we discussed the issues and the complaints. That was the warning, and that case was opened and then closed because there was nothing substantiating the complaints. However, when it continued and we kept getting complaints, that's when I was required to come back and issue you a citation.
And besides her little buddy, who else has complained? Because I'd like to see them subpoenaed, or I'd like to see a statement. Because this lady literally walked the pavement of the street to try to get everybody to complain on and file everything she can against me. Like I said, if she don't like you, she gossips. She's loud. I mean, like, I know I'm loud too, but she makes, and she wants. Never mind. I'll be quiet. I'm about to say something that's not nice, and I'll be quiet. Thank you.
I'll make sure you get copies of the videos, and we'll have that order in 5 days.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
One of the videos, there's 25 horn honks in a row, just to kind of give you an idea. And also remember, when you're sleeping, it's hard to get a recording. So I ended up, they told me to end up buying a recording device, which I now have as well. But all the other times, by the time I would grab my phone or whatever, you know, she would disengage it. You got to remember, I'm in a full-on sleep. But the average time before the first time I contacted the CODA officer, it was 5 times in the middle of the night. And then, like I said, it would get better. Then she would start right back up with it.
Okay.
So, yeah, 25 times. 25 horn honks is a long time. And please also remember, when I'm recording, it does not sound half as loud as it really is. Literally, all my bedrooms are right there next to the driveway. I cannot move my bedrooms. So I am losing sleep. I'm losing peace. During the day, it does also bother me, but it mostly bothers at night. But during the day, too, when it's going off, because I am her next door neighbor. The other person that's in court, she's, you know, a few doors down and on the other side. So if you can imagine, if her and her mom can hear it, how loud it is for me. So that's all I wanted to say.
She emailed me the videos.
Thank you.
I can try to pull it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Another thing I would like to say is, yes, I can say, my alarm has went off. There may have been one time where it did that. But show me 3 times where I got 3 city tickets where it's done that in this time period. It has not. That's a guarantee. But there may have been one time it went off, and that was prior to the day she called the police, because she called the police today. It didn't go off when I had my meeting with my mortgage company. But yeah, maybe one time, but not three. I shouldn't have three city tickets. And the one time I should get a verbal because it was only one time.
Okay.
Other than that, it's been beep, beep, basically maybe three times.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. As I mentioned, I will issue an order within 3 days. You'll get a copy of that. You'll also get a copy of the videos that are being sent to me as well. Okay. Okay, next will be new business 7C, case number 25-122734.
Oh, all right, here we go. My name is Myron San Miguel. I'm the code supervisor for City of Edgewater. This is going to be case 25-122734 for citation 0033. Property address of 203 West Marion Ave, Unit 7. The address of this is actually 333 West Marion Ave. This unit specifically has a mailing address of 203 West Marion. The owner is SafeLock Storage Holdings, mailing address of 2910 Kurt St. Eustace, Florida. This case was started on August 29th, 2025 for a business that didn't have a business tax receipt or certificate of use. Per city code, chapter 11-9 certificate of use is required. The business has signage advertising location of the unit's door and a sign at the road. SunBiz also has the address listed at the above location. This business has since submitted an application for certificate of use. That has gone through all of our processes and departments and it has gotten approval. The individual was notified yesterday for payment, and that is all the city is waiting on. Once that payment is received, this individual will be brought into compliance. The city is going to request the $75 citation to be levied, given how long it took for this to take effect, and the $100 per day if within 7 days it is not paid for.
Anybody here for the respondent? All right, you can come up, sir. I'm sorry, I should have done these two cases at one time since it's the same respondent, but you can go ahead. Go ahead and state your name again.
Matthew Smoot, SafeLock Storage Holdings.
Thank you. Do you have any response or anything that you would like to say regarding that?
Not really, other than our tenant. Anyway, it's hard to follow because he's the one that needs, it's our tenant that needs to get his certificate of use. We've told him he should do that. We don't have, there's nothing in our lease agreement that requires that they have a BTR because some people just use their units for storage. You know, they don't run a business there. He's really fought it. This is him right here calling me back. I thought this was all resolved. So this is.
It sounds like it will be once the.
He just has to pay it. Yeah. He went through the process. Everyone approved it. He just has to come in and make payment.
Okay, great. So that's it.
So anything else?
No, that's everything.
Okay. Thank you. All right, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122734, I find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the notice of violation or the notice of citation filed in this matter. Consider the gravity of the situation, the actions taken by the respondent to correct the violation, which is obtaining the certificate of use, except for the payment at this time, and any previous violations. I order that the respondent correct the violation on or before November 20th, 2025. In order to correct the violation, the respondent shall take the remedial action as set forth in the citation. If the respondent does not comply with this order, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will be imposed for each day the violation continues past November 20th, 2025. The respondent is further ordered to contact code enforcement and to arrange an inspection of the property or provide documentation regarding the payment for the certificate of use to verify compliance with this order. In addition, the respondent shall be subjected to the citation in the amount of $75. Okay, next case will be new business 7K, case number 25-123004A and a 004B.
Nicholas and Rihanna LeGrand are the owners of the property located at 2332 Tamarind Drive in Edgewater, Florida. It has been found in violation of Section 10-121 Trailer Storage and Section 10-84 Parking Residential of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances. On October 24, 2025, I was directed by staff to issue a notice of violation to the listed location for parking violations that have been previously addressed and currently continuing. I was handed paperwork that time with stamped photos of a truck and trailer parked in the city easement and right-of-way. I arrived and noticed only the trailer parked in the easement and right-of-way. Notice violation was issued for the listed violations with a correction date of November 3rd, 2025. On November 3rd, 2025, I conducted an inspection and now observed a truck parked in the easement right-of-way and a trailer still stored in the easement right-of-way. Citation 0659 notice of hearing was subsequently issued. It was posted to the property, sent certified mail to the address, and posted at City Hall. All notices and provisions, Chapter 10, Article 27, have been complied with. Staff recommends the special magistrate find Nicholas and Randall LeGrand in violation of Section 10-121 Trailer Storage and Section 10-84 Parking Residential of the Code of Ordinances and assess the citation fine of $150. That's $75 per violation. No daily fines are being requested as the violations have been corrected.
Okay. Sir, are you here for the respondent? Yes, sir. All right. Please state your name.
Nicholas LeGrand. I park in the easement road. Sometimes right there when I have to, due to the flooding situations where our yard holds so much water and stuff, it's unfortunate. I really have nowhere to go. I just try to make sure that I'm out of the road, kind of in my yard easement-wise, which I have a picture you can kind of see here where our trailer was at the very end of the, not in the actual road. Unfortunately, I have a neighbor that, some reason, hasn't liked me since I've moved there 2 years ago. I bought a house, paid cash for it for me and my wife to come down here and live. And now we're considering moving because I have nowhere to park my work truck and stuff in my yard because my driveway is a 1.5-car driveway. So unfortunately, I do move my truck, my work truck, back and forth sometimes to easement, in and out, whatever I have to do to not be stuck in the mud, honestly. So I can't deny any of that. I did have the trailer and everything moved on the 3rd. I know they come by that morning, but it was moved that afternoon. I had my son take care of it. So. And this has been a numerous thing for like the last 3 years. We've had the police come out. He's called and complained about several things. I've tried to make amends with the guy. I just want to be left alone. I mean, honestly. But
there's nothing you can do to park your truck in the driveway, or is it?
I have been recently. I've been parking, kind of shifting, but I'm hanging off both sides. But I do when it rains really bad. I can't park on the side because the side towards the front of the road, my work truck will get stuck or it's all mud. You know, I've been stuck a few times. It makes terrible ruts up there. So.
Okay.
And I've contacted the city, too, asking about the easement, if they could maintain that. But that's obviously city property, but my job to maintain. So, kind of one of those lines. So.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as long as you recognize, you know, moving forward, you can't
park
in that location. Okay, is there anything else that you would like to add, sir?
That's it. I was just going to see if I could just waive the fine since I had it moved that day. Like I said, they come by, I think, 9 o'clock. I had my son make sure it was taken care of before I got home from work. If not, if I got to pay the fine, it is what it is. Is there anything I can do as far as, is there any permits, anything I can pull, anything I can do for parking otherwise? I mean, you've been in my property several times, you can see as well. I need somewhere to be able to park my vehicle.
Yeah,
I don't really know where to go to. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, as previously discussed, his house sits sideways on what used to be public roads, and they've kind of been turned over as easements and accesses for these homes still. The challenge he's explaining is true. It rains really bad sometimes, and it causes that right-of-way to be mud. But he has options. Unfortunately, there would be financial responsibility with that, with having to get a permit to extend your driveway. You have plenty of yardage to extend it to the left or the right. You have the option to get a permit to do a driveway extension. It doesn't necessarily have to be concrete, so it might be a little bit more of a financial affordability for you to the right or the left. But you have the space to extend your parking needs. The issue is it's an access point that's shared for two properties. So whenever there's a vehicle or something blocking it, it blocks one or the other from being able to access it.
Yeah. Well, my only problem is when I park right there, well, you can see where my truck was and stuff, other pictures as well. There's clear access to the back. I know the guy beside me owns a double lot. I've told him, man, you know, just work with me if you need me to move or something. But it's getting to the point where it's almost harassment now. Like I said, there's been more than you've had to come out several times. I know the police have come out several times. And we're fixing to move from Edgewater because literally our neighbor keeps calling codes and police on us for parking. So, I mean, it's really come to that point. It's unfortunate, but that's okay. It's kind of where I'm at.
And you said that there was a notice or a warning issued and then it was moved that
yes,
same
there was,
day?
Yes, there was a warning. I think I brought it to the codes office and signed it. And then the day of the 3rd, they come by, I think, at 9 o'clock, but it was moved that evening. I had my son move it while I was at work. So, by the end of the day, on November 3rd, it was moved to the side.
City, wasn't your testimony? You witnessed it twice on there, and one was after
right.
You gave them.
Yes.
Okay. All right, sir. Based on the testimony and evidence presented, sorry, go ahead, sir. Is there somebody else here for the respondent?
There is an advisor. He's present here. He was with the property owner. But there's a finding of fact. I don't think there's need for testimony.
Okay.
With the property owner for my property?
Okay. Based on the testimony and evidence presented.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Right.
Based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-123004A and B, I find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the notice of violation and or citation filed in this matter. Consider the gravity of the violation, any actions to correct the violation, and any previous violations by the respondent. I order that the respondent is subject to the citation fine in the amount of $75 in case 25-123004A and $75 in case 25-123004B. There shall be no daily fines assessed as the property is now in compliance. And sir, just moving forward, please don't park there because you could get another $75 citation. I hope you can extend the driveway or figure out something else because it sounds like you're in a low-lying area there.
Yeah. Like I said, I paid cash for my house. Kind of money for driveway space.
Mr. Knight, I just want to clarify real quick so everyone's on the same page before anyone leaves today. With a finding of fact and adjudication for this, any time after this, a citation would be $150 for a repeat and a $500 immediate fine.
So anytime I'm parked out there?
Anytime you're parked out there and we come out and confirm it or receive date and time stamp photos that would confirm the evidence that you're parking there illegally continuously, it would be a $500 daily fine leaned on the property and $150 citation.
Is there a time limit for parking there? What if I park there and walk in
Never.
My house to use the bathroom?
Park in your driveway.
It doesn't matter whatsoever.
Yeah, you shouldn't be parking there. You have a shared access, unfortunately. Okay, perfect.
Okay, next up, new business 7B, case 25-122582.
This is in relation to citation number 834 for 1515 Juniper Drive, which is owned by Carol Ann Mihalko. 1515 Juniper Drive has had two prior code cases related to outdoor storage, one in 2021 and one in 2023. Both cases resulted in citations and the property came into compliance prior to daily fines. On July 23rd, 2025, Officer San Miguel observed outdoor storage in the front of the property. He spoke to the property owner's son and told him that the outdoor storage had to be removed and stored appropriately. On August 1st, Officer San Miguel and I re-inspected the property. The outdoor storage was still present. It consisted of junk, tools, fishing equipment, construction materials, and various other prohibited outdoor storage items. We spoke with the property owner and her son. They stated they would begin removing the outdoor storage. We agreed to give them 21 days and a notice of violation that described exactly what was expected. I hand-delivered the notice of violation to the property owner later that day. I explained the violations and went over everything that had to be removed. Violations included outdoor storage and location of garbage containers. She understood the expectations and said her son would do his best. On September 2nd, I re-inspected the property. I spoke to the son, who was in the middle of cleaning and moving things. There was visible progress, but the majority of the outdoor storage was still there. I gave a two-week extension so we could continue to make progress. On September 17th, I re-inspected again. More progress had been made. The driveway and the front side of the house were still covered in outdoor storage, but the items were more organized and a good portion were removed. Carol told me that they were taking longer than expected because they had to wait for garbage day to get rid of piles of items that they were removing. I informed her that they will likely need to begin taking items to the dump themselves instead because of the volume of items. She told me she would be able to get rid of the majority of the remaining outdoor storage by October 1st. On October 6th, I re-inspected the property. More items were removed, but the outdoor storage was still present, so I gave a final week extension. On October 14th, I conducted a final inspection, and the violation was still present. Due to the length of time, I informed the property owner I would be moving forward with a citation. The next day, on October 15th, I hand-delivered a citation for Chapter 10, Section 5, Subsections 1 and 4, Outdoor Storage and Debris. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. The citation for $75 was paid on the November 12th, and I re-inspected today, and the violation is still present. Staff recommends daily fines of $100 per day that the violation is not corrected after December 4th, 2025.
Anybody here for the respondent? Seeing nobody. What's that?
Have you seen photos of the violation?
Yes. I reviewed them prior to the meeting, okay, but if you want to bring them up, you can.
Just for public record.
That's yep. Must be something in here because my computer will not turn on either.
There they are. That's from today.
All right, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122582, find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the Notice of Violation and or citation filed in this matter. Consider the gravity of the violation, the actions taken by the respondent to correct the violations and any previous violations. Order that the respondent correct the violation on or before December 4th, 2025. In order to correct the violation, the respondent shall take the remedial action as set forth in the notice of violation and or citation. If the respondent does not comply with this order, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will be imposed for each violation. For each day, the violation continues past December 4th, 2025. The respondent is further ordered to contact code enforcement and to arrange for an inspection of the property to verify compliance with this order. In addition, the fine or the citation fine will be upheld, which has already been paid by the respondent. All right. 7D, case 25-122853.
Again, my name is Myron San Miguel. I'm the code supervisor for City of Edgewater. This is case 25-122853, citation 0032. The property address is 2009 Red Rock Road, New Smyrna Beach, Florida. It has a New Smyrna Beach address, but is within City of Edgewater limits and jurisdictions. It is a new D.R. Horton community off of Old Mission Road in Edgewater. It is Oak Leaf Preserve. It has a mailing address of 1170 Celebration Boulevard, Suite 202. In Celebration, Florida, 34747. This case was created through a city referral from Development Services. A historical tree was cut down and removed from the vacant lot of this location. It sits adjacent to a residential property, and per City Code Chapter 21-55.02, for tree permits, a permit was required to remove a historical tree. No permit was obtained, therefore a citation for $300 was issued per the fee schedule approved by City Council, and a tree mitigation fine of $1,200 is to be levied on the property per Development Services and their regulations for that. I have been in contact with the HOA community director, I believe. She is tracking, they are aware. To date, from what I've researched and my knowledge, I did not see payment of anything as of yet. Everything is in writing and everything was submitted, certified as well. So everyone's on the same page and was well aware of the expectations. At this point, all notices of provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. We request the citation of $300 to be levied and a one-time fine for the tree mitigation payment of $1,200. This was a very large tree. If you have the photos, I believe it was something like 136 inches around in diameter. And the story I received was that it fell from lightning. I requested evidence of that. I don't know if you can zoom out at all, but 139 inches around. I requested evidence, photos, or anything to get me in contact with the tree company that cut it up or anything. They said it almost hit someone's house. I talked to the neighbor. The neighbor said he didn't know anything about it, that someone just showed up and they cut it down. It's a community area. It's a parcel that's owned by the HOA. Just a historical tree that got cut without telling anybody or letting anybody know.
Okay. The only question I had was the $1,200 tree mitigation payment. Is that found in the Code of Ordinances, or is that found somewhere else?
That is something I requested from our development services director. It was sent to me in an email in regards to what I believe was historically accurate for what has always been done. I looked and could not find specifically where that tree mitigation fine came from, and I have yet to, unfortunately, receive anything from the development services director. But with everything going around in the city, I'm sure we will have that. If that is not something that is applicable at this time, then of course we'd have to waive that and just request the citation.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can do it a few times. Or a few different ways. I can waive it, or I can continue it if you need some more time to get that information. It's really up to you, because I'm looking at the code in the Land Development Code, section 21-55.10, which is enforcement. And there's another way to do it, which says, in lieu of physical replacement, City Council may impose a fee of $37 per cross-sectional square inch lost, or a combination thereof.
Yeah, if you go back to that photo, we looked at that, and I discussed that with the City Development Services Director, and I think the total was, 39 or 34 inches? I mean, it'd be tens of thousands of, it'd be a lot more money than just the $1,200 requested per the thing. If we could do a continual then, and I'll try to get that document to provide to you to show exactly where that's coming from. Okay. I don't know if it's an administrative fee that he just has the, I believe he just has the authority as the director to apply for it. So I'll verify that though and have something
okay
more concrete.
Let's do that, then we'll continue.
Till December's?
What's that?
Till December 11th?
Yep. So okay, we'll continue case 25-122853 until the next meeting, which is December, what did you say?
12-11, sir.
December 11th.
Thank you. That's all the city has.
Thank you. Have what, five more? All right, case 25-122891.
This is in relation to citation number 835 for 2523 Willow Oak Drive, which is owned by Judith A. Wagner and James Liborezos. 2523 Willow Oak Drive has had two prior code cases this year involving overgrown grass and weeds, one from June 19th and one from July 31st. Both cases were brought into compliance within 2 weeks of their initial inspections. On September 24th, I identified tall grass and weeds at the property while on patrol. I left a door hanger to make contact. On October 3rd, I re-inspected and saw the grass was still overgrown and that the door hanger was removed. I spoke to the resident, who told me he was having financial troubles and was trying to find a lawn company. He told me he would contact me via email once he found a lawn company. I told him I would check back on the 13th to see if he found a company or cut the grass and weeds. I also handed him a notice of violation. On October 13th, there was no answer when I knocked on the door. I had not received an email or phone call from the resident to update me on their progress. I gave a courtesy extension until that Friday. On October 20th, the grass and weeds were still not cut. I attempted contact, but no answer at the door. I posted a citation on October 22nd for Chapter 10, Section 98, Property Maintenance. On November 4th, I re-inspected and saw that the grass and weeds were cut. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends a citation for $75, and no daily fines are requested as the property is now in compliance.
Nobody here for the respondent. Based on the testimony and evidence, presenting case 25-122 891, I find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the citation filed in this matter. I order that the respondent shall be subject to the $75 citation fine. There shall be no daily fines or liens to be assessed as the property is now in compliance. Case 25-122894.
V3 Fund 3 Edgewater LLC is the owner of the property located at 2130 South Ridgewood Avenue in Edgewater, Florida. Has been found in violation of Section 10500 minimum standards of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances. While on patrol, I observed the listed property have grass and weeds in excess of 12 inches, overgrowth in the flower beds, tree branches hanging into the parking areas, and dead and missing plants. The property was monitored for several months, and on September 25th, 2025, a notice of violation was prepared and issued to the property owner with a correction date of October 25th, 2025. Prior to October 25th, 2025, I observed workers at the location weeding the flower beds. However, the work was not completed. On October 25th, 2025, my inspection revealed tree limbs were not trimmed, the weeds remained in the flower beds, new mulch was not replaced, and the missing dead bushes were not replaced. Citation 0658 notice of hearing was subsequently issued. It was posted to the property, sent certified mail to the owner, and posted at City Hall. The listed property is a vacated bank building, and talks with the owner revealed this property has had a tenant, but no activity on the property would indicate the building is in use. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends the special magistrate find V3, Fund 3, Edgewater LLC in violation of Section 10500 minimum standards of the Code of Ordinances and assess the citation fine of $75 and additional daily fines of $100 if not corrected by December 23rd, 2025. The reason I gave until December 23rd, 2025 is I have been in contact with the owner and she's agreed to have all this taken care of by then.
Okay, thank you. Seeing nobody for the respondent, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122894, find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the notice of violation and or citation filed in this matter. Considering the gravity of the violation and the actions taken to correct the violation and previous violations, I order that the respondent correct the violation on or before December 23rd, 2025. In order to correct the violation, the respondent shall take the remedial action as set forth in the notice of violation and or citation. If the respondent does not comply with this order, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will be imposed for each day the violation continues past December 23rd, 2025. The respondent is further ordered to contact code enforcement and to arrange an inspection of the property to verify compliance with this order. Additionally, respondent subject to the citation fine in the amount of $75. Case 25-122906.
Helmlinger Kenneth Lewis David is the owner of the property located at 2804 Mangle Tree Drive in Edgewater, Florida. Has been found in violation of Section 10400 property maintenance of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances. On September 30, 2025, while on patrol, observed the listed property have grass and weeds in excess of 12 inches. Due to the same violation on August 21st, 2025, a notice of violation was issued with the correction date of October 10th, 2025, and citation 0549 was subsequently issued. It was posted to the property, sent certified mail to the owner, and posted at City Hall. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends the special magistrate fine Helmlinger Kenneth David Lewis David in violation of Section 10400 property maintenance of the code ordinances and assessed a citation fine of $75.
Okay, seeing nobody for the respondent, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122906, I find that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the citation filed in this matter. Considering the gravity of the violation, any actions to correct, and any previous violations, I order that the respondent correct or the respondent shall be subject to a citation fine in the amount of $75. There shall be no daily fines or liens to be assessed as the property is now in compliance. Okay, case 25-122907.
This is in relation to citation number 832 at 707 South Flagler Avenue, which is owned by Eden Olivia Tall. 707 South Flagler Avenue was previously abated for grass and weeds and received a citation on September 11th, 2025, special magistrate hearing. On September 30th, it was identified that the grass and weeds were again overgrown and exceeding 12 inches in height at the property. On October 3rd, 2025, I posted a citation for Chapter 10, Section 402, Alternate Method of Enforcement, Repeat Offense, as well as a notice of abatement. I re-inspected on October 14th. The violation was still present, so we moved forward with the abatement. On October 23rd, the abatement was serviced. Gomez Lawn Service mowed the property and brought it into compliance. All notices and provisions of Chapter 10, Article 27 have been complied with. Staff recommends a citation for $150 as it's a repeat offense, and as the violation is now in compliance, no daily fines are requested at this time.
Seeing nobody here for the respondent, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122907, that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the citation filed in this matter. Additionally, the respondent was previously cited for the same violation on September 11th, 2025, and an order finding the respondent in violation was also issued on that day. Order that the respondent shall be subject to a fine in the amount of $150. There shall be no daily fines or liens to be assessed as the property is now in compliance. The case 25-122982.
Sue Reed, Vaughn EST is the owner of the property located 1843 Cocoa Palm Drive in Edgewater, Florida. Has been found in violation of Section 10400, Property Maintenance of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances. On October 21st, 2025, while on patrol, observed the grass and weeds in excess of 12 inches at the listed location. Due to the owner being deceased, a notice of violation was issued with the correction date October 31st, 2025, and citation 0657 notice of hearing was subsequently issued due to a repeat violation. It was posted at the property, sent certified mail to the address, and posted at City Hall. All notices and provisions, Chapter 10, Article 27, have been complied with. Staff recommends the special magistrate find Sue Reed Vaughn in violation of Section 10400, Property Maintenance of the Code of Ordinances, and assess the citation fine of $150.
Seeing nobody for the respondent, based on the testimony and evidence presented in case 25-122982, that the respondent is in violation of the City of Edgewater's Code of Ordinances as listed in the citation filed in this matter. I order that the respondent shall be subject to a citation fine in the amount of $150 as a repeat offender due to an October 14th, 2025 order finding respondent in violation of the same section. There should be no daily fines or liens to be assessed as the property is now in compliance. And that is it. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much. We will adjourn.